Jesus finds himself in a situation that I think we can all relate to. Maybe not the exact concrete details, but that of wanting to go to a place and a time of rest, and then being interrupted from that time of rest by the needs pressing in upon you. And that reminds me of those of you who have the vocation of motherhood. There's definitely, we all experience this, but mothers in a special way, it experience this incredible, this incredible constancy in your ministry. And I know this partly because I'm from a family of eight, partly because I do a lot of retreats, okay? I do youth retreats. I've done, you got your confirmation retreats, you've got your men's retreats, you've got your high school retreats with this kind of a theme, and your college retreats with that kind of a theme. And then you have women's retreats. And many of those women are mothers. And many of those mothers, well, it doesn't matter how many kids, but sometimes with four or five or six, it's really clear. Sometimes more than six, it's really clear that there is something different going on with these women. There is a challenge here that is greater than some of the others, and the constancy of it. And I know, because the confessions are different, okay? I'm not saying they're holier or they're less holy. I'm just saying you notice. And the prayer, it's different, because this is a time that is so different from the rest of their lives. There's not time like this every day. If there is, it's not much. And the time of refreshing that will take place on those women's retreats, what it was just so incredible that I noticed it as being different from others. And that these women were really, really, really enjoying this retreat. And I, one time, gave away like 4 hours or 5 hours of my night to go hear confessions at this retreat. And I had said yes to hearing confessions about 2 months before the retreat, not knowing that Michigan State would be playing in the Big Ten Championship. And I didn't get to watch the game, even a minute of it, as I was sitting there. And the retreats went, or the confessions went really long. Not because there was a lot of sins, just because there was a lot of grace being received. And as I'm sitting there and hearing these confessions, I started to realize, oh no, I'm totally not going to watch this game at all. And bitterness began to grow up in my heart. But it didn't stay long, because as the confessions went on, and as these women were coming to the Lord, I realized how important this was that I was doing, and how important this was for them, and how much they were loving this and also needing this. And it was really awesome. It was truly amazing. Part of the reason I say that to you mothers, and it's true for all of us, but part of the reason I say that about mothers is everybody needs some time apart with the Lord. That became, I think, maybe the single most powerful retreat that I was ever on for others. And I think part of it is that is a vocation of such constancy and service. For all of us, that's a temptation to keep doing everything we've been doing exactly as we've been doing it, right? And not to kind of take that time apart with the Lord. But I say that as a special encouragement to you women, and as we think about the pattern of our lives, or of our year, or of our month, or week, even the pattern of each day as disciples of Jesus, does our day have these rhythms to it? Is there a time when we are going 100% building God's kingdom and going out and preaching? And that's the context of this story. The disciples had just been sent out to preach, They go out and they preach repentance. They come back and Jesus says, awesome, great job preaching. Let's go take a day off. Let's go camping again. And they do until they notice that there's these crowds with this need. So they were active. They were ministering to others. And then they took time to pull away from the day-to-day ministry and be with the Lord. They took time. Jesus said, just take some time and be with me. Jesus does the same thing too. Sometimes he goes apart with his disciples. Sometimes he goes apart without his disciples. And it's just him and the Father. And he and the Father, they converse, they commune. He knows the Father's will. And if the Son of God chose to take our human nature for, among other reasons, to give us an example, we should follow this part of his example, as well as all the others, taking time apart with the Lord. And that way, we know that our priorities really are his, and we aren't really substituting in our own priorities very subtly, sometimes subconsciously, that we're building his kingdom, that we're responding to his call on our lives, instead of simply responding at a surface level to every need that might arise. Sure, the needs that arise, we need to address them. That's why they're called needs. But Jesus didn't live his life in response to the need as such. Or if I could say it a little bit differently, if you think about some of the needs that Jesus responded to, he is the Savior of the world. He has come to set us free from our sin. He's come to heal, physical healing, to manifest the resurrection. It's all about the resurrection, but he's got a lot of darkness that he has to confront. And as much as there's sin and death and sickness in the world, that's the darkness that and the evil one himself, that's the darkness that Jesus is confronting. But Jesus, for all of the needs related to our sin and death and sickness and the evil one, for all of that, Jesus never lived his life in response to that darkness. And he didn't become a man, and he didn't come down for our salvation because he was responding to the darkness and what the darkness had done. He became man and came down to earth for our salvation in response to the Father's call and the Father's will. He lived his life not in response to the darkness, but in response to the Father. And that makes all of the difference for us. Because when all those needs and all those anxieties and all that darkness hits us in the face, we want to respond to it. And it's valid on some level. Well, of course, something needs to happen. But Jesus says, Father, what is your will? He goes to the Father and allows the Father to show him what needs to be done, so that what he's doing isn't done out of anxiety. It isn't done out of fear. It isn't done out of sadness. It isn't done out of discouragement or this desperation against the darkness. No, what he's doing is done out of love and obedience. And, well, we heard it in the second reading. It's done out of peace. Preaching peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. There's such a difference in our hearts when we respond to something in the peace that comes from the Father, and when we respond to something that is in the desperation raging against the darkness. This is something that it's kind of a discernment of spirits, that these inner movements of our hearts that are good to pay attention to. And when Jesus has his eyes fixed on the Father, he's giving us an example as human beings to take that time away with him. And if we're going to be moved into action, notice what moves Jesus into action. When he disembarked for his vacation, his day off, and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with Catholic guilt for them, for they were all really needy and he felt terrible about it. Wait, no, sorry, that's not what it says. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. Other translations say compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. obviously we feel guilty when we do something wrong. And that's not a bad thing, but we also feel this guilt sometimes, I think oftentimes, that doesn't come from God. Or it's the guilt because we're not doing the thing that God does want us to do, and we kind of know it. So then when we do turn and do the thing, we're kind of doing it out of the guilt instead of really going to the Father and doing it out of that relationship. I don't know if that makes sense completely, but the basic idea, I think, is pretty easy, but subtle but powerful. I'm not responding to this because of the darkness or because of my guilt. Jesus says, I'm responding to this because of the compassion that I have. The Spirit, the Father, are moving me. I'm gonna address this need. When we do things out of compassion and out of this soft heart for others, it makes all of the difference, both for them and for us, when we're serving and when we're ministering to people, when we're meeting those needs. And so, we don't want to be moved by guilt. We do want to be moved by compassion. We do want to be moved. And the way that we allow ourselves to participate in the ministry of Christ is the way in which we unite our hearts to His in prayer, so that we hear His voice and not the voice of the darkness or the guilt. Jesus calling us to minister to others is a call that is peaceful. It doesn't mean that it's comfortable, but peace is, it's so much better than comfort. Peace is so central to our call as Christians to minister to the needs of others, whether it's the everyday demands of being a mother, whether it's the everyday demands of being a father, whether it's the everyday demands of being in whatever phase of life you're in. We are called to respond not to the darkness, but to the Father's love, knowing that His response and what He is doing, we can have total peace in doing that with Him, knowing that He's won the victory for us through His Son. He loves us. He's going to be with us every step of the way. It's not going to be easy, but we know that it's going to be good. And so we strive to live our lives in response to the Father's will, in obedience to His love for us and His plans for us each day.